We've looked already in the readings at the birth of Jesus and what took place, the way that the shepherds came and worshipped God, Jesus, a baby born in and laid in a manger, a birth that was foretold thousands of years before it even happened. The reading that we've just heard, written over 2,000 years before Jesus was born, and yet fits so precisely the way things happened. So we're going to have a look at a psalm that, if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Psalm 98. It's not going to come up on the screen for you, but there will be parts of it come up as we have a look at it. Psalm 98 was written well before the birth of Jesus, but it is a psalm that is written about a king. And whilst it has its relevance in the day that it was written, we can see layers of it that fit exactly with what happened in Jesus Christ. This psalm answers the question of why do we sing? Why does the whole world sing at Christmas time? Why do we all sing about Jesus? What happened that made us all sing about that? And so we're looking at Psalm 98. So why do we sing? Is it just something that we've appropriated from another time, another culture, another religion? You know, what you can see the holly up in the corner of the picture there. Did you know that holly, well associated with Christmas, was a sacred plant for the Romans in worshipping the god Saturn? It was a pagan thing that is now associated with something with about Christ. Holly was about protection. It was about, for the Romans, about endurance. It was about fertility. And they hung it on the doors of their homes like magic charms to bring those things into their lives. Now, as Christians, we don't look at the things that God created like a plant. We don't look at that for protection. We don't turn to a plant to provide us endurance or fertility. We look to God for those things. We turn to God for his protection. We trust God for protection, for our growth, for our faith in him that helps us persevere through tough times. What about Christmas trees? They're everywhere, aren't they? Another pagan thing that has been appropriated for Christmas. We've even got them here today. Ancient people used green branches of trees during the hard winters to remind themselves of what was going to happen after winter. The hard winters, they needed something to get them through, and so they used branches in their homes as a symbol of life, eternal life. For the Vikings, the branches of the trees in their homes were symbols of victory over death. But we join with God in the redemption of things in this world. We take things that have been misused by people and we redeem them. We make them holy again. And so for us, a Christmas tree is a symbol of life and victory over death as well. A victory that was won for us on a different tree. For us, it's linked with the birth of Jesus as a foreshadowing of the victory that he is going to win and the purpose of his birth. It's a beautiful picture of the new life that we enjoy today as Christians because of what Jesus did, because he came. And of course, there are always gifts at Christmas. The festival of Roman Saturnalia included the giving of gifts and feasting as part of its celebration. But the Magi, the wise men, They brought gifts as an act of worship to the king. The gifts that they gave were the right gifts to give to a king. And we can't give Jesus gifts, as we've already said with the kids, but like the Magi did, but we can give gifts to each other to celebrate the ultimate gift that was given to us in Jesus Christ. God gave his son because he loves the world so much that he sent Jesus to save us. Jesus made the point when he was on earth that it's not the things around us that corrupt us. He told the Pharisees it was silly to be so pedantic about the foods that they ate that went into them when the real problem came from what was already in their hearts. The things that we have around us that we've come to associate with Christmas are not the problem. They're only going to pull our hearts away from the meaning of Christmas if our hearts are already not focused on him. But if we're already thinking like the world, then we'll see what the world sees. But if our hearts are focused on God, then the things that we see are not going to be the issue. Because what corrupts us comes from in here, not from out here. But we still haven't answered this question, have we? Why do we sing? Was it an appropriation of symbols and practices and cultures and traditions as these other things were? Why do we sing at Christmas time? What's with that? There is a reason for it. Psalm 98 gives us the answer to it. We sing because God has told us to sing. In Psalm 98, at the very beginning, it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for us." You see, the psalmist is writing to celebrate the salvation that God had brought to Israel in that day. In this psalm, there is no talk of enemies at their borders. There is no talk of trials and tribulation. This is a psalm about a king who has provided what was promised, a king who has given the nation peace, the king who has won victory over their enemies. He had come through to rescue his people. The king that they are writing about is God. Sing to the Lord a new song. Celebrate, praise our king the way that they praised and sang to a conquering king as he marched his armies back into the city. He has come through to rescue his people. See, the salvation that the psalmist wrote about wasn't a military victory that came through the might of their armed forces. It was something that God had done, because it was something that only God could do. They'd waited for God to be God. They'd waited for him to save them, to bring them protection, the protection that a good king brings. And their singing was the only appropriate response to celebrate what they had been given. It was the celebration of the people praising their king for being a good king and doing what a good king does. And it was all because of the Lord. It was all because of his power and his strength that they could enjoy salvation. And so it was time to celebrate. It was time to praise the Lord. The salvation that they had in mind was the fulfillment of the promise that God had made. We read about that promise in Isaiah. And so the psalmist wrote, "The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord." God had delivered what they had looked to him for. God had established Israel, who started as a people trapped in slavery, He'd brought them to the land that he'd promised them. He'd given them a king who truly represented himself, a man after God's own heart, who ruled them and protected them as a representative of God himself. You see, God was with them. God had remembered the covenant that he'd made with their forefathers. And by remember, they meant that God had done. He had done exactly what he'd promised to do. Remembering wasn't just an intellectual exercise. God had acted, and in acting had provided the proof that he had not forgotten. And he's done it in front of all the other nations who were looking on. Nations who scoffed at them, tormented them, persecuted them, and refused to join them in worshiping God. And so there was vindication for Israel. They were right to worship God. They were right to stay faithful to God. Because look at what he did in front of the people who didn't. God had rewarded their faith and trust in him with his own faithfulness. He'd done marvelous things in ways that proved to everyone watching that he was real. Why? Because God rubbing the noses of the other nations in the victory that he delivered to Israel, his favorite child? No. God did all of this in front of the other nations so that they too could repent. You see, God's plan was for Israel to stand as a testament to God's faithfulness. They were on show to the rest of the world so that the rest of the world would see that only God is the God who delivers salvation. So shout for joy, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music, all the earth. Make music to the Lord with the harp, and with the sound of singing. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Do you see it? This is why we sing. The best response that God's people can give to their King when they think about the salvation that they've been given by God is to sing, to praise, to worship. Sing about what God has done. Sing as a celebration of joy. Sing as an encouragement to each other. Sing as a witness to the nations. You see, a little over 2,000 years ago, God delivered the ultimate salvation to the whole of humanity, something that he'd promised since the events of creation, something that was talked about and anticipated since the times of Genesis. God had promised a serpent crusher to break the hold of sin and death, brought into the world through Satan first tempting Adam and Eve. And Christmas is the celebration of God delivering that salvation in the form of Jesus. He was born as a little baby, but he soon grew into a man like the rest of us. The Savior of the world was God himself. It was God's right hand, his holy arm, reaching down from heaven into our world. And he became one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. It was God who conceived this plan. God who worked faithfully, patiently, over generations to prepare people for what was coming. And John wrote that he came to his own people who did not receive him as king but crucified him. But to those who do receive him as their king, he gives the right to become one of his treasured, protected, and saved children. Truly, in Jesus Christ, we see that God has done marvelous things. Shout for joy to the Lord. Burst into jubilant song. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The river, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. You see, the whole point of God doing what he's done in front of the nations is so that they can see that he really is who he claimed to be. When Jesus walked the earth the first time, he said that he hadn't come to judge, but to save it. But that doesn't mean that there's not an expiry date on that salvation, that offer. What was done for all to see, so that all can turn away from living outside of God's kingdom and surrender their lives to the right King. See, Christmas is not just a feel-good feast. It's not just to remind us to be better people. Christmas is the celebration of God's right hand coming into this world to bring salvation. The point of it happening for all the world to see, the reason why we sing about it all around the world today, is so that those who are outside God's kingdom can turn to Jesus and come into the kingdom before the day of judgment. We sing because of the salvation that we've received in Jesus Christ. We sing as the only right response of a people who have been unable to save themselves and yet enjoy the salvation won for them by their King. We sing to remind and encourage each other. We sing so that all the people around us will hear about the marvelous things that God has done. Things he did for you and for me, and things he did for them. We sing because peace had been brought into our lives through a little baby laid in a manger. Peace between us and God. Peace between us and each other. Between you and me. Peace between us and them. Joy to the world can have no greater meaning as a song than it does to someone who knows that they have been saved. That's what this psalm is about. That's why we sing at Christmas time. We are people who have been saved by God, the greatest King, who gave everything on a cross for you. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back up the front. We're going to sing that song. Let's sing it like we have never sung it before. Let's break into jubilant joy. Victory has been won through the baby who was born on Christmas Day. Joy to the world. Declare it. Would you stand with us and we'll sing.